Good evening, everybody. It is Monday night, May 8th, 2023. We are officially on the road to Night of Champions. I am Don Tony, and I want to thank you all for joining me tonight. Forgive me if the show starts off a little bit less energetic. I don't know. There was a lot about Raw tonight that just seemed to have fallen flat. This World Heavyweight Championship tournament, I don't know. I mean, I feel like something is missing. And not necessarily Brock Lesnar costing Cody Rhodes. If you've been following this show, and a lot of you out there knew, Cody Rhodes has got to beat Roman. You don't deviate from the script. Even though WWE may actually try to convince you subconsciously that they're going to deviate from the script. And Cody Rhodes, hey, man, you know, cutting his promo early on, respectable about the World Heavyweight Championship, not mentioning Roman, not disrespecting this title. And I got to give him and WWE credit for resisting that. Because yesterday when I talked about Backlash, I thought it was necessary for Cody Rhodes to make it clear that he is in this tournament, yes, and the World Heavyweight Championship is very, very important. But Roman is the chase. Roman is the story being finished. And I like that they did not bring that up, because by doing that, you sort of diminish the value, the meaning of this World Heavyweight Championship. I will say, though, Paul Heyman, though, you know, we're hyping up Roman Reigns appearing on SmackDown this Friday, which will be his first appearance on SmackDown since WrestleMania 39. And Paul Heyman tonight taking a little shot at the upcoming World Heavyweight Championship final. And, yeah, WWE retweeted it as well. Hey, you know, it's all part of a storyline when you think about it. But, yeah, that is actually a cartoon that Paul Heyman put out earlier today. Pretty funny if you actually look at it closely. So, but, you know, I thought Raw had its moments that were good, but overall it just fell flat. And Trish Stratus, man, with all due respect, I mean, the first promo that she cut after she turned on Becky, I said on this show, give her a break. You know, it's been a couple of decades probably since she's had to cut a heel promo in front of a live crowd. Tonight, though, bombed, and bombed badly. You know, it's like a comedian that's in a stand-up club, and he's the only person laughing at his own jokes. And it's not even like heelish what she was doing. It was just bomb after bomb after bomb after bomb. But Becky Lynch ultimately shows up. Becky Lynch nails Trish Stratus. You know, we'll talk a little bit more about it later. But, you know, a lot of people out there have been rolling the dice saying Trish Stratus versus Becky Lynch at SummerSlam. All right, I'm fine with that. But SummerSlam is still a little ways away. How do you keep this going for that long? You know, I have said it since day one. I feel Trish Stratus goes to Saudi Arabia. That is a payday that Saudi Arabia would be willing to offer. I don't know if WWE would as well. I mean, WWE is paying her substantial amount of money for her to return right now. And don't get me wrong, Becky Lynch absolutely loves the opportunity to have a storyline with somebody who she idolized growing up. You know, we've had that conversation before, but I just got this feeling, man, that we may end up seeing this match in Saudi Arabia. You know, Trish Stratus is a legend. Saudi Arabia, remember, they had Lita in Saudi, and then we saw how that ended up. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I mean, Saudi Arabia is in a couple of weeks, you know, so by next week, we should have at least half of this card lined up. Now, one match that is officially confirmed for Night of Champions, and it's something that you and I even discussed yesterday. The only question right now is, what is the stipulation? You know, when we did predictions yesterday for this World Heavyweight Championship tournament, you know, we discussed Cody Rhodes, and there was only one outcome for Cody Rhodes in this tournament, and that was for him to lose and have Brock Lesnar cause the loss. Now, I saw those journalists. Yes, a lot of you brought it to my attention this morning. Journalists reporting Brock is not scheduled for Raw. Brock is not scheduled for Raw. Brock is not returning anytime soon. Blah, 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 blah. Well, as you saw tonight on Raw, not only did Brock Lesnar show up, not only did he ruin Cody Rhodes' opportunity to advance or at least go to the finals for Raw tonight against Seth Rollins, but Brock Lesnar F5s Cody, does it through a table. And right now, Brock Lesnar, you know, it's funny because I see people online that are still saying, like, we never got an explanation from Brock. Cody kind of gave us a little inkling later on in the night. And who knows? Maybe down the line we get that storyline twist that Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman did pay Brock Lesnar to take Cody Rhodes out. You know, obviously, they would not have known that Cody Rhodes would have wanted that tag team match the night after WrestleMania. But who knows? That is a storyline that could be in the back pocket that could be used later if they choose to do so. But why does Brock Lesnar need an explanation? You know, Cody said on Raw tonight that maybe Brock is starting to realize that I'm the man now. I'm the man in the company now, not him. And that pisses him off. Okay, you know, I could take that. Brock Lesnar is a selfish motherfucker. Yeah, I mean, we remember, you know, that he shows up, punches his card, and leaves. Does Brock really need an educated reason as to why he decided to lay out Cody? Maybe he just doesn't like him. I mean, we joked about that before. What happens if Brock does an interview segment down the line? Like, Brock, why did you originally attack Cody? And he just says, because I don't like him. What are you going to do? You're going to say, oh, that was fucking stupid. So Brock doesn't really need an answer. I mean, not everything is going to be cake and ice cream. Not everything has to be fully detailed. You know, I mean, yeah, maybe a little bit more clarity would have helped early on. But at this point now, does Brock need any explanation to show up and just pretty much annihilate Cody Rhodes? I did see the early tweet and deletes where people were trying to like, oh, there's the stretcher job by Cody tonight. They're writing him off. No, premature ejaculation. But Brock Lesnar, you know, so Cody, what do you want to talk about? And Brock just looks in the fucking camera and he's like, look at this face. I want to talk about me. I want to talk about a fight. I want to fight. You, me, Knight of Champions, I want to fight. Who is the coward now? And the icing on the cake when Brock walks up the rampway and Brock sees that World Heavyweight Championship. First of all, you know, early in the night, it's Cody showing a little respect for this championship. Brock walks by it and he's laughing. I don't give a shit about titles. So now the match is official. Cody Rhodes versus Brock Lesnar at Night of Champions. As we said last night that match would happen, the only issue with it is there's no titles on the line. This is Night of Champions. So is this going to be an unsanctioned match? Is it going to be a street fight? Those were the two discussions that we had yesterday. There will be a special stipulation to justify why this match is happening when neither one is a current champion. So I loved it. That's probably my favorite moment of tonight's Raw. Seth Rollins versus Finn Balor was a lot of fun. Seth Rollins versus Nakamura and Damian Priest was a lot of fun. The Miz, Cody Rhodes, you know, Finn Balor was a lot of fun. But, you know, it just didn't have that World Heavyweight Championship feel. Did not feel like a tournament. It just felt like a regular edition of Raw. I mean, if you go back and you watch, especially in a match with Cody, I mean, Cody got some Let's Go Cody chants, but that crowd was extremely dead for that match. The crowd was kind of dead for a lot of tonight. There was a lot of piped in noise tonight. You know, Zoe Stark made her Raw debut. Did fine against Nikki Cross. I don't expect the crowd to really get animated with Zoe Stark just yet. I think probably Seth Rollins, Cody Rhodes, when he cut his promo, and Dominic Mysterio. Those are the ones that got the biggest crowd reaction tonight, but there were moments tonight that this crowd was dead. To sit here and do a 90-minute or a two-hour show tonight, honestly, would be totally wasting your time, because really, this show, if you read the highlights online, if you go on Twitter and look at a couple of clips, that's good enough for you. Seriously, this was definitely a passable episode, in my opinion. And how many times do you ever hear me say that? Very, very rare. So, as of right now, Brock Lesnar versus Cody Rhodes at Night of Champions. We will see what happens with Trish Stratus and Becky Lynch. Who knows? Maybe we get Night of Champions. Maybe we get something afterwards. The only thing that you got to realize, that I realize as well, is you're not going to have too many matches at Night of Champions featuring people that are not champions. It's got to be a lot of championship matches. Gunther more than likely will have a championship match there. The tag titles will not be on the line, obviously. And by the way, you know, yesterday when we did the last part of the show and we did the sit down and we were talking about who should be Gunther and Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn's next opponents, and we said Riddle versus Gunther sounds like it would be fun. We also want to see Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus Imperium. We got that tonight on Raw. Unfortunately, though, did not feel important. Imperium put on a good performance against Owens and Zayn. Kevin Owens, extremely funny tonight and animated, making fun of Kaiser with the sweater, the turtleneck, making fun of them when they're in the ring doing their introduction. You know, just everything with Owens tonight was a lot of fun. But in the end, you know, this is two losses for Imperium in 72 hours since SmackDown. And where do you go next? Something else tonight that, honestly, I wasn't feeling it. WWE on the USA Network put this banner up that I want to share with everybody out there, because, you know, when you look at it, it's pretty impressive. And they ask, who do you want, or who should be Rhea Ripley's next challenger? Now, this is all the women that are on the roster. Now, just a little tidbit for those that may have missed Raw tonight. The SmackDown Women's Championship is still around the waist of Rhea Ripley. They have not switched the titles yet. They have to address this very, very shortly. I thought about it for a brief moment earlier today. Could they possibly keep this until Survivor Series where Rhea and Bianca faced each other? I just don't want to see a unification match. But Rhea Ripley had the SmackDown Women's Championship tonight, the blue belt. When Byron Saxton interviewed her and Dominic Mysterio later on, which set up the Xavier Woods match, which was extremely random, he acknowledged her, Byron Saxton, as the SmackDown Women's Champion. So obviously, WWE hasn't figured out yet what to do about it. And it really, listen, for those that did not want to see Bianca Belair's reign end, you should be happy. But the fact that they have not addressed that these women are on opposite brands unless some, you know, corny shit happens in the next couple of weeks that, you know, we don't want Rhea Ripley on SmackDown. We don't want Bianca Belair back on Raw. And that's not happening, obviously, especially with Street Profits on SmackDown. But, you know, what's going to happen? Is Rhea Ripley going to face a SmackDown women's wrestler? Is that what's going to end up happening? It almost feels like that's the only way to go. You are the SmackDown women's champion. You should fight somebody on SmackDown. Now, getting back to this photo the USA Network put out, you look at all the women on this roster, from Becky Lynch to Ronda Rousey. They have everybody. Chelsea Green, Dana Brooke, which I kind of feel bad about tonight. I'll show you why in a moment. Sonya Deville, Alexa Bliss, Raquel Rodriguez, Nikki Cross, Liv Morgan, Katana Chance, Kayden Carter, Emma, Candice LeRae, Natalya Doudrop, Piper Nevin, Sonya Deville, Shayna Baszler. And it just goes on and on. Zia Lee, Indy Hartwell, Tegan Knox. You look at that entire list and you're saying to yourself, oh, you know what? I think Ronda Rousey would be interesting. Hey, there's probably five or six women that I would choose on this list. So tonight, Rhea Ripley has a match against Dana Brooke. Beats her handedly. After the match is over, Rhea Ripley decides she wants to mess around with Dana Brooke a little bit more. And somebody runs down to make the save. And then we get a stare down. And then reality strikes that after everything that we have had with WrestleMania, after everything with the draft, after everything, and I'm not throwing, it's not meant to throw shade at this individual, but this individual for quite some time now has not only experienced too many losses, but does not feel like she's in the women's hunt. WWE decided once again to have Natalya, you know, get in the face of a women's champion. Now, does anybody honestly think that Natalya is going to dethrone Rhea Ripley? I mean, I can understand to a certain extent people, you know, over the weekend, you know, making the argument, oh, Zelina Vega should have won the women's championship. Zelina Vega should have won the women's championship. I know that's a feel-good moment. And to be honest with you, something that I said in the Backlash recap yesterday that I thought about today, and I was like, you know what? I know this is not a popular thing for me to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. Now I kind of understand why Vince McMahon, when WWF would tour, and hometown heroes, more times than not, got squashed or jobbed out or would lose. Not necessarily squashed, but they would lose. And over the years, over the decades, we have all expressed our disgruntledness, like, oh, yeah, it makes that person lose in their hometown, makes that person lose in their home state. Now I'm starting to understand, after all of these years, why maybe it is necessary more times than not. Because if it was up to the extremely outspoken elements of the internet wrestling community, Drew McIntyre would have dethroned Roman Reigns at Clash at the Castle. Somehow Roman Reigns would have gotten the championship back and Sami Zayn would have dethroned him at Elimination Chamber. And Zelina Vega would have dethroned Rhea Ripley after all of this build. Now, yes, you can have a upset win. You can have an upset victory. And yes, everybody would pop, oh my God, I can't believe it, she did that. And Rhea Ripley could beat her 24 hours later. But does anybody really want to see that? I keep thinking about Christian Cage because we just passed the anniversary of it. Remember when he won the World Heavyweight Championship? And we all made such a big deal about it, and he lost it in 48 hours. And I still remember it was the early days of Twitter and social media, and there was this outcry about 48 hours, and you felt like they just gave it to him for the feel-good moment, and they took it right off of him. And I remember him on Twitter telling everyone, don't worry, everyone, I'll get it back. I'll get it back. And some people are like, all right, you know, we'll trust the process. Hopefully he gets an extended run, and never got that extended run. So Zelina Vega, you know, she's in Puerto Rico. It's magical. This is going to be the greatest moment in her pro wrestling career, deservingly so. Everything about it was beautiful. You know, you don't have to always, you know, win. Like the movie doesn't always have to have the ending, the cake and ice cream, as we always do. That emoji, hug emoji. There's too many people that are like that. It can't be 90% epic, amazing, unbelievable. It's got to be over the top where people are just you're looking at it going, you know, should Zelina Vega have won that championship? WWE creatively should have had her go on a roll for an extended period of time. Not just suddenly become superwoman 2 weeks before Backlash, that suddenly, hey, I think, you know, she's got Rhea Ripley's number. No, you should have built it up. And they didn't do that. Legado del Fantasma. You look at others. Look at people out. We talked about LA Knight yesterday with this World Heavyweight Championship tournament. LA Knight, did you see the 10? There was some people with 10,000 likes. All they said was, this is bullshit that LA Knight's not in the World Heavyweight Championship tournament. Look at his record. Look at the way WWE has portrayed him for the last bunch of months. Why would he earn that opportunity? Yes, people will say to me, well, DT, The Miz was in this tournament too. The Miz tonight was on it. But if you didn't tune into yesterday's recap, I said it also. Miz has a long storied career in WWE. He was a former world heavyweight champion, world champion. So The Miz, although not having the greatest momentum right now, still has a storied career in WWE. LA Knight is yet to create that. Zelina Vega, unfortunately, creative decided not to start giving this that suspension of disbelief long in advance. Like, hey, you know what? She's a contender. You know, she has a legitimate shot. You don't want the upset, you know, because and then what? And then what? 24 hours later, then people are going to be like, oh, suddenly she's going to be able to be invincible against everyone. That's not a shot on Zelina Vega, but I think Zelina Vega, even deep down inside, what went down is the best scenario possible. Best scenario possible. She, I think, you know, she's in the business. She's a pro wrestler. She understands how everything runs. She herself would probably say, not publicly, but say to herself, under no circumstances should I be beating Rhea Ripley for that championship right now. Rhea Ripley is considered, you know, the greatest women's wrestler of this current era outside of Charlotte Flair. You don't want that upset victory. But again, because it's this, you know, everybody's got to, you know, do that. And listen, I saw the big podcasts, Hall of Famers, giving their thoughts. They have every right to their opinion. Just understand that a lot of people will say things because they know their audience and they know that that's what their audience would want to hear. All right, I'm not saying that everybody did that, but if you actually dissect what some of the people said today, it makes no fucking sense whatsoever. Doesn't make any logical sense either. We're not dealing with Mikey Whipwreck here. And believe me, Mikey Whipwreck got booed, and that was in front of 500 fans. You can't fuck up Rhea Ripley's momentum and Roman Reigns' momentum simply because they want that magical moment that, you know, we look back on it, and people get to be like, you know, in hindsight, you know, I don't know if that was a smart idea. So I know we're doing a little filler tonight because, you know, Raw was kind of uneventful. Hey, yesterday I talked about how the LWO got matching tattoos over the weekend. They are now LWO for life. And some of you out there wanted to see the Raw video of it, and Zelina Vega posted this on social media yesterday, so I'm going to share it with you. This is LWO. It's only a few seconds, but it's them getting the tattoos. We don't see Ray's face, obviously, but then I got to show you something with Dana Brooke since we're showing videos. But check this out.
We're getting LWO tattoos. We're solidifying the awesomeness of LWO with me, Ray, and Santos, and Cruz, and Joaquin, and just being able to just, yeah, solidify that. So, yeah, we're getting the LWO tattoos, all matching tattoos because we're a group.
I love it.
That's pretty cool, man. That's pretty cool. That's a bond. Even though we focus on wins and losses, that's a bond that'll be with them for their lives. So that's pretty cool, man. LWO for life. Pretty cool to see that happen. And again, you look at this weekend with Zelina Vega. I mean, you can't top it. I mean, just a magical weekend for her. And you know what? Backlash was awesome. You know, I watched the Bad Bunny Damian Priest match again today. And it was definitely worth it. And I saw a lot of buzz today that some people would like to see Bad Bunny versus Roman Reigns. I think it's the same thing like Logan Paul. I don't see Bad Bunny going to Saudi Arabia. I think it would be way too soon, obviously. But who knows? Maybe down the line, SummerSlam or, you know, the next Saudi show after that, maybe you get it. I just think Roman Reigns has got to lose those championships, though. I think Cody finishing the story, it's going to get, listen, there's only so long that you're going to be able to have him face Brock. Let this sink in. Let this sink in. I don't have it in front of me, but this might be only the second time that Brock has been pinned clean in like 7 years or eight. It might even be longer than that. I don't know. But the thing is, imagine if Cody Rhodes beats him twice. I mean, that is uncharted territory. I mean, don't get me wrong. I know Roman has beat him, and I know others have beat him. But if Cody beats him for the second time in Saudi Arabia, you know, that is... And look, why wouldn't Brock do it? Brock, he's not... You know, it's... Listen, I know this is going to sound stupid, but people understand why I say this. Brock is not like Bret Hart. You know what I mean? Like, Bret Hart, he's protective of his character and his career, and, you know, he didn't want to lose to Shawn in Montreal, and blah, 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 blah. My lights. Did you... Look, do you see it? I heard it. My lights. I got to fix that later. I'm not going to fix it now, so we'll fix it later. My apologies, so you're going to have to deal with it. I could tell Alexa to turn the lights off, but then it would look kind of weird with some intimate surroundings. So I heard that. All right. Well, anyway, let's start speeding this up a little bit so we could get out of here. So let's talk quickly about Raw. We got some ratings to get into. And, yeah, unfortunately, something with the ratings, people are very, very hush-hush about it because they don't want to hurt Trinity's feelings. And I don't blame them to a certain extent, but you and I have talked about it. No one else. I did Google searches, social media searches. No one has opened their mouth because they don't have the heart to hurt her feelings. I'll explain why in a little bit. But anyway, I told you something about Dana Brooke a little bit earlier. I feel bad for her, but we got to show it. Dana Brooke came out for her match against Rhea Ripley. And it was a couple of kids at ringside, and she's going down the rampway, and she's trying to get high fives from the kids. And she sees one kid in particular, and this happens. Look closely. It's only 2 or 3 seconds, but she walks past this kid, and the kid does not... Oh, I put it in slow motion. There you go. There you go. This is regular speed. Look. Oh, yeah, he ain't lifting his hand. I don't like blondes. Let's do it in slow-mo. She go, look, give me a high five. Come on, come on, come on. Oh, let me punch the padding instead. I felt bad for her because you know that's all over social media. You know what's going to happen? You know the hashtag give Dana Brooke a chance? Now it's going to be hashtag kids give Dana Brooke a chance. Come on, kids. Come on, guys. Come on, kids. Give Dana Brooke a chance. Felt bad for her. I didn't feel bad for her. She seems nice. I don't hear anything bad about her behind the scenes. But honestly, at this stage of the game, I mean, you know, like, how do you repair, you know, what has happened? Are we really going to get that suspension of disbelief that suddenly Dana Brooke could beat the world? You know, she has too many women and she has to leapfrog. So something else happened tonight that was pretty cool if you paid attention closely. Sonya Deville and Chelsea Green are there, and they are lobbying to try to get a tag team title rematch against Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez. So what they do is they figure if they get enough signed signatures on a petition, they'll get another title shot. The problem is in storyline, who on the WWE roster is really going to sign their petition other than a couple of heels? So they're walking around and they're trying to get everybody to sign a petition and they're lying. And they're saying, oh, this is for... you know, the better the earth. This is to right the wrongs, injustices. This is for animal, you know, it's a little sinister, but, you know, it's all like human rights and better the planet and this and that. And every person they go up to, it's different. Oh, we got a petition, you know, do this and sign this. And they approach the way. Yes, the way have reunited Candice LeRae, Johnny Gargano, Indy Hartwell, Dexter Lumis. They have reunited. They are in the back. And Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville come up to them. And they're like, hey, you want to sign this petition? And Dexter Lumis looks at the petition and he gives them a thumbs down and they do not sign the petition. Now, later on in the night, Raquel Rodriguez and Liv Morgan do show up and they do see Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville. And they're like, oh, if you want a title shot, should have just asked. So it's official. Next week on Raw, Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville will get another shot at the Women's Tag Team Championships. They just don't know who they're facing yet because this Friday, it's going to be Dakota Kai and Bayley versus Raquel Rodriguez and Liv Morgan. Now, yeah, think about it. If Damage Control wins, that means Bayley and Dakota Kai can show up on Raw again and defend those women's championships. I personally don't see that happening because they have to keep that separation. But let that sink in and that, yes, they could still. That's why I said it even yesterday. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn will still show up on SmackDown. They still possess the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. There's tag teams on SmackDown. They will be challenging for those titles. So you got to think about all these little, you know, oh my God. Look, they're really, it's real. Oh my God. That's okay. That's all right. I'll fix the lights. Actually, you know what? It looks better like that, right? Doesn't it look better? I think it looks better. Somebody's fucking with me tonight. It's all good. It's all good. But, you know, Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville laughing at Liv and Raquel, and they're like, what's so funny? And they're like, oh, yeah, we didn't think we were going to be facing you. We figured we're going to face Dakota Kai and Bayley, Damage Control, next week. That's a telltale sign. They're not. So Damage Control, for people that are a little bit concerned that they might win the tag titles on Friday, I don't see that happening. So we don't have to worry about it. All right. So let's briefly touch on this World Heavyweight Championship tournament once again. So, and this is a big deal. And I want to put an exclamation point of what we've talked about over the last 7 days. These are the brackets that were revealed for the tournament. Yesterday we knew that it was going to, you know, the participants, we didn't know what the matches were going to be. So earlier tonight, we had Finn Balor versus Cody Rhodes versus The Miz. We also had Seth Rollins versus Shinsuke Nakamura versus Damian Priest. Now, those matches tonight, you know, we know the outcomes already. We know that Seth Rollins is going to Night of Champions to fight on behalf of Raw for that championship. Before we get into a little bit more detail with the match results, I want y'all to pay attention to the SmackDown side for a minute. Look at those triple threats scheduled for SmackDown. Tell me that we would have gotten AJ Styles versus Edge versus Rey Mysterio if this tournament was not happening. You know, just think about that for a minute. We got two pretty damn good matches coming for SmackDown, and one of them in particular, I don't know if you would go into dream match territory, but that is awesome territory. Because of this tournament, we're getting AJ Styles versus Edge versus Rey Mysterio on Friday. And I think that's a pretty sweet thing to see. Now, the other match will be Austin Theory versus Bobby Lashley versus Sheamus. So now the question is, who faces who on Friday? I think AJ Styles versus Seth Rollins is the match that everybody wants to see in Saudi Arabia. I know some people would also love to see Seth Rollins versus Edge in Saudi Arabia. And, you know, part of me thinks, wow, you know, Saudi Arabia, they love nostalgia. I could see Edge and Seth Rollins rewinding that shit back and doing what they do again. But I just don't see Edge winning this championship and going back to Raw. This is Seth Rollins' championship to win. I personally think AJ Styles will end up winning the SmackDown side of it, and we get AJ Styles versus Seth Rollins at Night of Champions. The only way I could see someone else other than AJ Styles winning for SmackDown, Rollins is getting it. I don't think anybody's disagreeing there. Rollins is getting it. But as far as the SmackDown side, the only reason why I would not choose AJ Styles if forced is because maybe he's not 100%. We know he's not 100%, but he's close. He's got three extra weeks to really prepare for Seth Rollins. That is going to be a strong challenge. Now, you look at this roster on SmackDown, those six participants, who would mesh the best with Seth Rollins? For me, it's AJ Styles. If I have to go secondary, I probably would choose Bobby Lashley. Problem is, Bobby Lashley is not going to become world heavyweight champion. This is Seth Rollins' match to win. So do you want Bobby Lashley with another high-profile loss under his belt? So I go with AJ Styles, or I go with Sheamus. I think that would be unique. But if I'm a betting man, I go with AJ Styles. But, you know, look at the main event for SmackDown Friday. It's going to be AJ Styles versus either Austin Theory, Bobby Lashley, or Sheamus. And I could picture SmackDown having the balls to do AJ Styles versus Austin Theory. I just don't think anybody at the end of the day really wants to see Austin Theory versus Seth Rollins at Night of Champions. So going into the main event for that night, you feel like you got to go with Bobby Lashley or Sheamus. They got to close out SmackDown with either Bobby Lashley or Sheamus in that main event. So, but those are the brackets. Those are the brackets. Now, just to go one step ahead, I'll just show it to you. We'll talk about it Wednesday, and just a reminder Wednesday that Wednesday Night Dynamite will be live at 10:05 p.m. on Discord. If you need a link, it is on the synopsis for tonight's show. It's in the community section in YouTube. I will not be streaming video on Wednesday. So if you want to check out the show live, Discord is the way to go. If not, wait until around midnight, and the show will be on DonTony.com. But I might as well put this out there now for those that are interested in it. NXT Women's Championship, Indy Hartwell was forced to surrender the championship because of injury. So we're getting another tournament to crown an NXT Women's Champion. That champion will be crowned at Battleground. And here are the brackets that came out late tonight. These matches will be taking place on television. Now, Battleground is the 28th of May, which is only 3 weeks away. So keep that in mind that this Tuesday on NXT, we're getting Bron Breakker versus Trick Williams. We're getting the Dyad versus Gallus for the tag titles. You know, we're also getting Ilya Dragunov versus Dijak. So we're going to have a minimum two or three women's matches, possibly four, on Tuesday's NXT. So this is a lot of matches to go through in a three-week span. But on one side, we have Gigi Dolin versus Tiffany Stratton. The winner of that match will then take on the winner of Roxanne Perez versus JC Jane. I think at the end of the day, everybody expects it to be Roxanne Perez and Tiffany Stratton fighting to the next round. On the opposite side, we have Lyra Valkyria versus Kiana James. The winner of that match will go on to face the winner of Fallon Henley and Cora Jade. I think everybody will probably agree with me that Cora Jade and Lyra will probably advance to the next round. And then in your finals, it'll be the winner of Tiffany Stratton and Roxanne Perez versus the winner of Lyra Valkyria, or Valkyria, depending on how you say it, and Cora Jade. And I think at the end of the day, you know, I don't know if you give the belt to Tiffany Stratton just yet. I mean, I don't know if anybody's noticed. On Raw, they play that Tiffany Stratton commercial at least four times every Monday. Nobody has my style, my look, my get, you know, like four times. Maybe even more. I mean, I counted at least four times tonight that we had that Tiffany Stratton commercial on. I just don't know if she's ready to run the NXT women's division. I think it may actually come down to Cora Jade versus Roxanne Perez. I really do. And I honestly would put the belt on Cora Jade right now. I'd rather put the belt on Cora Jade than Tiffany Stratton. Tiffany Stratton, maybe 6 months from now. But if they decide to go that route, I don't think anybody's going to really complain either. So that's NXT Tuesday, you know, with the matches. Looks like a stacked card. Absolutely. So tonight on Raw, Seth Rollins has the opening match. But before that goes down, Cody Rhodes welcomes everyone to Jacksonville. Says publicly that during the pandemic, this was my home and we made a lot of memories together. You know, little, you know, props to AEW, his involvement there. He reflects on his backlash win and his survival against Brock Lesnar. He brings up the World Heavyweight Championship tournament. He predicts victory. And the crowd is chanting, "You deserve it. You deserve it." Yeah, the live crowds don't look at it as a pity championship. But we knew what was going to be happening to Cody Rhodes tonight. We pretty much knew. So, Cody, you know, little cheerleading, "Jacksonville, let the tournament begin." Seth Rollins' music comes out. We thought there was going to be maybe a little promo exchange with Rollins and Cody. No, it's just the actual match. Seth Rollins defeats Damian Priest and Shinsuke Nakamura. Fun match. Damian Priest, you know, suffering a little bit of the effects of his match against Bad Bunny, did a little backstage promo and said, you know, it took not only Bad Bunny, but it took an entire island to take him down. And after he takes down Nakamura and Rollins, we'll see if he or Finn Balor, which one of them, takes home the World Heavyweight Championship for Judgment Day. Unfortunately, they both, you know, lost tonight, but Damian Priest kept strong in this match. Honestly, I think everybody kept strong in this match. What it really came down to was Nakamura, you know, getting the upper hand, doing a lot of reversals. We had a few confrontations tonight with Nakamura and Seth Rollins, where there's a stare down in the ring, crowd is getting into it a little bit, then they start brawling one-on-one. We had the back and forth with the punches and the forearms, but obviously Seth Rollins, clear favorite on Monday Night Raw. So towards the end of the match, Nakamura reverses the South of Heaven by Damian Priest into a takedown and puts a leg submission on Damian Priest. And while Nakamura has this submission on, here comes Seth Rollins with a frog splash off the top rope onto Nakamura. So Damian Priest, before he could even try to stand up, here is Seth Rollins with a pedigree on Shinsuke Nakamura, defeats him. So Seth Rollins goes to the final tonight. And that was your opening match. It was a good match. Crowd was decent with this match, but they would soon die out. I don't know what it was with the crowd tonight. Imperium has arrived, minus Gunther. Gunther will make his Raw debut next week. And I'm looking forward to Samantha Irvin introducing Gunther. Sorry. Ludwig Kaiser and Giovanni Vinci, they see Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. "Oh, look, it's our tag team champions." And Sami Zayn is like, "Look, can you give us 5 minutes? We're talking right now." And Ludwig Kaiser, you know, he's a little bit angry. "Don't disrespect Imperium." And Sami's like, "Dude, give us 5 minutes. Give us 5 minutes." And Imperium feels disrespected. Next thing you know, we get a match tonight. Unfortunately, as we said earlier, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn did defeat Imperium. It was a fun match, but this is, again, two times in 72 hours that Imperium has lost. I would love to have seen this develop into a nice feud. We know that they're not having a match at Night of Champions, but still, you look at Raw and the tag team division, Imperium is probably my favorites to basically... Maybe, I'm not saying dethrone Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn of one set of those titles. Let me put it this way. The more I think about it, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are going to lose the SmackDown Tag Team Championships first. They're going to lose those titles first because you're not going to take Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, who are Raw wrestlers now, lose the Raw Tag Team Championships, only possess the SmackDown titles, and then they stay on Raw. If you think about it, that's almost like the Rhea Ripley logic right now. They're going to address Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair. They have to. They have to. And you don't just rename the Raw Women's Championship the Blue Belt. You know what I mean? You feel like you gotta exchange them. But it would be even dumber to have Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn remain on Raw with just the SmackDown tag titles. So they're going to lose the SmackDown tag titles first. That might be the reason why we got Imperium versus them so quickly. So, you know, to who? Don't know yet. Don't know yet. Because right now, you know, we got to separate the bloodline from Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Too much interaction. I mean, a lot of people felt it was getting old. You have to move on. And you can't just keep falling back on the Usos. Listen, I know over the years, we've had the New Day and the Usos always going at it. Just when, you know, sign of respect, handshake in the middle of the ring, we're not feuding anymore. And then two weeks later, I know I'm exaggerating, but here's another match between them. They got to keep the bloodline, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, away from each other for the foreseeable future. Mustafa Ali defeats Otis. Otis comes down to ringside with Maxxine Dupri and Chad Gable. Story of this match, Chad and Maxxine Dupri are trying to coach Otis at the same time, and they're butting heads. Otis gets distracted, Mustafa Ali with the win. After the match is over, Chad Gable and Maxxine Dupri still arguing with each other, and they're the ones technically to cause Otis to lose. It is what it is, everybody. We see footage of The Miz and Maurice at the Kentucky Derby. Finn Balor defeats Cody Rhodes and The Miz. And I tell you, The Miz put on a decent performance, double DDTs, a lot of double T moves. Problem is we were just waiting for the moment that Brock Lesnar was going to show. And that's exactly what ended up happening. Miz hits the skull-crushing finale onto Finn Balor, but Cody Rhodes breaks it up. And Cody Rhodes hits Crossroads, and then on Finn, then he hits three Crossroads on The Miz, one after the other. Cody Rhodes, after three Crossroads, very slowly going for the pin, and as he goes and the referee starts counting the pin, here's Brock Lesnar pulling Cody Rhodes to the outside. No disqualification in a triple threat match. So Brock Lesnar picks up Cody, throws an F5. While this is going on, Finn Balor with the coup de grace on The Miz for the win. And then Brock Lesnar puts Cody Rhodes through the table. And then Brock Lesnar's beautiful promo. So, Cody, what do you want to talk about? Look at this face. I want to talk about me. I want to talk about a fight. You, me, Knight of Champions, who's the coward now? Guy's a tough son of a bitch, man. Busted up hard way yesterday. Stitches, black eye. You know, did everything he could to help elevate Cody. You know, this story continues between him and Brock. And now, you know, Brock Lesnar's reason to want to destroy Cody. Look what you did to my face. That's it. Look what you did to my face. So Cody Rhodes later on, you know, he's asked by Kathy Kelly, you know, what's your thoughts about what happened and Brock Lesnar costing you the opportunity? And Cody's like, look, Kathy, I know you have to ask that question. He doesn't really have much to say. And then he pulls back and he's like, you know, Brock, you know, you want to fight at Night of Champions? You got one. So Cody versus Brock, we will rewind it back and we will have that again in 3 weeks. So we now will enter the month of June with Cody Rhodes and Brock Lesnar still going at it. Now, people who are reporting that Brock versus Cody is going to go into SummerSlam, that's guessing. That's not news. People just are trying to figure out when does Cody Rhodes get that moment to challenge Roman Reigns. Some people think he needs money in a bank. Personally, I don't want to see him cash in a briefcase. I mean, just think about people yesterday calling Cody a coward because he rolled up Brock. Imagine if Cody finishes the story by cashing in a briefcase with a unconscious Roman Reigns or a very vulnerable Roman Reigns. Imagine Roman Reigns getting the shit kicked out of him by somebody else, and then you hear boom, 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 boom. No, I don't want to see Cody. I mean, it would be a fun moment. It would be an awesome moment. I mean, it would be like a Dolph Ziggler moment. People would be losing their shit. But I don't want to see Cody Rhodes cashing it in. Cashing it in. I think we're past that. So, Rhea Ripley over Dana Brooke, as we said earlier. After the match is over, Rhea is not done. She decides to attack Dana Brooke a little bit more. Natalya comes out, little confrontation. They get to have a match. That's all I have to say. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens over Imperium. Zoe Stark in her Raw debut over Nikki Cross. Zoe Stark kind of picking a fight with Nikki Cross. She's doing an interview in the back, and she sees Nikki Cross on the phone, and she's like, you know, I'm going to succeed in this division because we got weirdos like this. She issues a challenge. She has a match. She beats Nikki Cross with her finisher, which she calls the Z360. Almost sounds like a radio station. Z360 FM. Byron Saxton interviewing Rhea Ripley with Dominic. You're the SmackDown Women's Champion. You're the number one pick. You're the number one pick. Any pressure? Say that fast 10 times. And before she could even answer, very, very forced, Xavier Woods laughing. He's with Akira Tozawa. Very random. Now, we know the history of Tozawa and Rhea Ripley. We've talked about it quite often here. But, you know, Dominic is like, you know, why are you disrespecting mommy like that? And Xavier Woods is like, hey, I just got to Raw. You know, if you want to have a match, let's have a match. So Rhea Ripley gets in Xavier Woods' face. Dom accepts. Dom has a fun match with Xavier Woods and very competitive. Dominic doing all the heel mannerisms, mocking Eddie, getting under the crowd skin, Rhea Ripley right at ringside. In the end, Xavier Woods, he climbs the middle rope, the corner, and then he walks the rope a little bit, goes for an elbow drop, and Rhea Ripley pulls Dom outside the ring. Referee Dum-Dum sees it, doesn't say anything, doesn't eject Rhea Ripley, just, you know, acts like he didn't see it. And as a result, Xavier Woods, he dives, no water in the pool. Dominic Mysterio with a fruit roll-up win, and Dominic Mysterio pinning Xavier Woods. You know, Dominic's momentum continues. Trish Stratus. Oof. This was brutal. Trish Stratus, she's in the back posting missing photos. Where is Becky Lynch? Becky Lynch missing. Last seen getting a big beatdown, courtesy of the GOAT, WWE Hall of Famer Trish Stratus. Trish Stratus enters the ring. She's wearing the poster on her shirt. And she's laughing at her jokes, and they're all missing, and they're missing terribly. She then starts telling a story on how her daughter wanted to name her doll Becky Lynch because Becky is cute, this and that. And Becky's music hits. We all think Becky Lynch is coming out there. So the music hits, and Trish puts the mic down, and she's looking. No Becky Lynch. And Trish is like, see, I fooled you all. You're so gullible. You're so stupid. Becky's not here. She's not going to show up. She's somewhere in Iowa, and Trish made fun of her two-year-old kid and all this stuff. So she teases, she trolls the fans with Becky's music. She continues a story about her daughter wanting to name her doll Becky, and the music hits again. And Trish is like, production, no, that's enough. You know, and Becky Lynch shows up at ringside. I don't know about you, everyone, but Becky Lynch looks like she might have dropped another 5 pounds. Maybe even, I don't want to say 10. I mean, but she, I don't know. There's something about her face that looks very, very thin. I don't know. I don't know if anybody caught that tonight. Maybe it's just her hairstyle. Maybe it's just the way she put her hair. But Becky looked a little bit thinner than usual. Trish Stratus realizes that Becky Lynch is behind her, and Trish is like, oh, fuck. All right, you know, what am I going to do now? Trish turns around. Becky Lynch clocks her. Nails her nicely. Then Becky Lynch gets on the mic that she's back to kick Trish Stratus' ass. Now we wait and see if it's Saudi Arabia, because that's an awful long time to stretch this out all the way to SummerSlam without some interaction with those two. So who knows? Maybe we get Saudi Arabia. Maybe Trish Stratus cheats to win. Maybe we get a sneak pin where she puts her feet on the middle rope and the referee doesn't see it and she gets out with a victory like that. And maybe that leads to another match later on. I don't know. I just feel like the fact that they're doing this. Remember, we're on the road to Night of Champions. $50 million. $50 million. $50 million. You know, again, I don't compare WWE to AEW with Gate. But when everybody talks about All In, making $7 million so far, not deducting how much it costs for the thousands of employees and the airfare and the hotel and everything else, and then you realize that WWE is going to get seven times that amount for one event. The fact that they're doing this with Trish in the same show, Trish could have put up the missing signs. Everyone, have you seen her? Tell me, have you seen her? Bop, bop. They could have dragged it on for a week or two. The fact that Trish puts the signs out there, goes in the ring, does horrible stand-up tonight, and Becky Lynch shows up all in the same night, feels like, yeah, we're rushing this shit to fit it in for Night of Champions. That's my gut feeling. That's my gut feeling. So that's what we had tonight. In this year, cuts a promo. I actually was going to open the show tonight, everyone, and say, hey, breaking news, Veer Mahan is coming. He's coming. This time he's not alone. He's coming with two other friends. We're spelling coming, C-O-M-I-N-G. In this year, imagine if they're the ones to dethrone Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, which I don't believe is going to happen, to be honest with you. By the way, when Dominic beat Xavier Woods, I liked when Dominic went up the rampway and said, Dom rocks. I thought that was pretty funny. Seth Rollins defeats Finn Balor in the main event of Raw to advance the Night of Champions in the tournament. Excellent match. Finn Balor with a little buckle bomb early on. You know, that was what Seth Rollins put Finn on the shelf from. So this was fun. I mean, seeing, you know, a lot of history between those two. But, you know, in the end, you knew who was advancing the Night of Champions. A very anticlimactic, you know, match tonight. You're watching the match. You're watching for quality, not for surprise element. Sure enough, Seth Rollins hits a reverse stomp. You know, instead of Finn's head going face first into the mat, he goes backwards, which was nice. They call it inverted stomp. And then Seth Rollins with the traditional stomp. Excellent match. But again, it didn't have that feeling. I think SmackDown is going to feel much different. And it's not because we're getting a really solid triple threat as part of it. But, you know, tonight's Raw was kind of uneventful. It had its moments, but really, if I wasn't doing this show, I probably would have skipped it. I mean, look, when you're watching Raw, when you're halfway through, you don't know how the show's going to turn out. That's why when you look at ratings, you can't always judge ratings based on the quality of the show because, you know, you could have a banger of a show, do a crappy rating, and there's a lot of people that decided to watch or do something else than see Raw, and then they realize, fuck, I should have watched. But tonight, to me, was very passable. Very passable, in my opinion. So, main event results from tonight, Akira Tozawa over Nathan Frazier and Emma over Roxanne Perez. NXT, we talked about a little bit earlier. AEW this Wednesday. Orange Cassidy will be defending the International Championship against Daniel Garcia. Anna Jay versus Julia Hart. The House of Black will be having an open house match for, I guess, the trios titles. It's going to be against Best Friends and Bandido. Orange Cassidy, like I said, against Daniel Garcia. Hopefully it doesn't open up Dynamite. I'm kind of sick of hearing his entrance opening up Dynamite. Rey Fénix versus Claudio Castagnoli in a Ring of Honor double jeopardy match. Kenny Omega versus Jon Moxley in a cage. FTR will talk. Christian Cage will talk. They will set up matches for Double or Nothing, which is happening in 3 weeks, everyone. A little less than 3 weeks. 19 days, because we just passed midnight a few minutes ago. I told everybody yesterday that I was going to mention briefly Zelina Vega's little reflection that she posted that really just everybody just melted when they heard it. And she wrote this very brief. She wrote it earlier today, and she wanted to share it with everyone. She said, I woke up this morning with happy tears rolling down my face and praying that it wasn't a dream like it always was. I wish I could hug every single one of you in the audience and everyone sending their love from home. You have no idea how much this meant to me. This weekend, my life changed forever. I'm so honored, so grateful, and feel incredibly blessed to have the support that I had last night from the fans, my beautiful family, my heroes, my coworkers. This is good. And to finally hear Triple H say, quote, I'm so proud of you. And he was talking to me. This time, I'm crying as I type this. To represent my people in Puerto Rico, man, I'll never ever forget this. Neither will my family, and I promise you'll all get all of me every time. This is not over. This is just the beginning. Someday I will become WWE Women's Champion. Quote, a hero is not one who never fails. It's the one who gets up again and again, never losing sight of their dreams. Famous quote written by Rock Lee. Massive thank you to the village that created this masterpiece I wore yesterday. I felt like a superhero, a princess, and a rock star all at once. She talks about makeup, and she gives some props. I'm so lucky to have you all, Puerto Rico. I love you. And she gives shout out to everybody online. Now I get back to be in the arms of my 7 fur babies and my incredibly supportive and loving husband, Malachi Black. Yes, she did shout him out. I wouldn't be where I am personally or professionally without him. Hitting the 619 for Ray, shimmying for Eddie Guerrero, and then dropping Rhea with the Meteora for my husband was the coolest thing ever. And she closes by saying, Daddy, I love you. If you don't know the story about a father, Google it. And it's pretty powerful shit. Yo soy Boricua. Yo soy Boricua. Pretty cool, man. Pretty cool. Nothing wrong with having a special moment. And to me, no championship needed at this point. Very, very special moment. Keep the fire. Keep it going. Build on it. One day, if she does become women's champion, people won't look back on it and say, oh, it happened because they were in Puerto Rico. Because you know, when everything settles down and the emotions calm down, you get a lot of criticism out there like, oh, it only happened because they were in Puerto Rico. The Puerto Rican pop. And I don't think that's fair for Zelina Vega, to be honest with you. So I have not seen what Malachi Black wrote yet. I will definitely check it out, and we'll comment on it later this week. Backlash made some records, everyone. WWE touted today that Backlash saw a 28% increase from the record that was set last year. They bring up Bad Bunny. They bring up 35,000 fans for the back-to-back nights between SmackDown and Backlash. The most social media interaction with Backlash of all time, 40 million views. Think about that, everyone. 40 million views of the San Juan street fight. That's crazy shit. Plus, the merchandise. The LWO hats, t-shirts, Backlash merchandise. And they got a boatload of money from the advertising. Cannot leave out that advertising. Big deal. Pretty big deal. So, we're going to start bringing this home. Got a couple of super shout-outs to get into momentarily. Let me give you some ratings first, if you don't mind. Now, again, unfortunately, like I said, you know, if we were making nice cash over here, I have no problem spending the money, getting all the quarter hour breakdowns for everything in their mother. The thing is that it cost a lot of money to get that. And yeah, some other podcasters can afford it, not here. That would be insane to do, just to give everybody what Trinity's rating was. But I will tell you what I have, and some of it is definitely disappointing. We touched on it Saturday, and I'm going to add to it tonight. So just to give you ratings over the last 7 days, and across the board, I think wrestling overall was pretty down over the last 7 days. You know, there's only so much with WrestleMania and everything else going on. You know, you kind of felt that there was going to be this decline. Raw, this past Monday, a week ago, did 1,778,000 viewers. That is down slightly from the week prior, as 1,815. MLW, closing out their deal with Reels, did 53,000. That is slightly down from the week prior's 61,000. NXT, last week, did 568,000 viewers. That is down from the week prior's 647. AEW All Access, I did not get the number yet. The week prior was 299. I did hear that it's lower than 299. Maybe someone live can get me that number. Why is there a fucking bug? I'm not kidding either. Look, think I'm kidding? You see it? See, I don't know if you see it. There's a fucking bug walking by. What the hell's going on? Lights are coming down. Bugs running across my monitor. I just killed a bug live on the show. No, you're not going to super chat me to eat it. What the fuck you think I am? All right, getting back to the ratings. Somebody could check the All Access rating. I'd appreciate it. I don't know if it came in. I'm sure it did. Dynamite last week did 776,000 viewers. That is down from the week prior's 863. Now, I went one step further. We've been talking about how the latter parts of Dynamite are losing viewers substantially. Something that is not normal as far as Dynamite goes, and the trend continues. Do you know last week's Dynamite, the lowest quarter of the entire night was not only the last 15 minutes of Dynamite, the last 30 minutes of Dynamite. Both quarters, the final two of Dynamite, both did 692,000 viewers. Think about that for a minute. Juice Robinson versus Ricky Starks with the Jay White beatdown. MJF and Sammy Guevara teaming up to take on Darby Allin and Jack Perry. Those two quarters only did 692,000 viewers. That is extremely disappointing. New Japan last week did 50,000 viewers. That is up from the week prior's 43,000. I think New Japan is the only one that saw an increase last week. I kid you not. Impact Wrestling. Okay. I touched on this Saturday. I tried to get more information. Keep in mind, today is Monday, and a lot of these offices don't work on the weekends. That's probably why I have not received a response yet. But I want to give you a little bit of perspective here. Impact Wrestling, the week prior, did 115,000 viewers. And it was in the top 150. In fact, it was probably around maybe like 130, 132. But it did 115,000 viewers. That is the week before Trinity made her TV debut. So, again, you have people online anticipating her debut. It's going to pop a rating. Saw some whack jobs with blue check marks saying, oh, we're going to look back on it, and she's going to do it the women's division, like when TNA signed Kurt Angle. Like, what the fuck are these people talking about? It didn't break the top 150. Not only that, the ratings for last Thursday, as far as demos go, the 18 to 49 that everybody talks about, let this sink in for a minute. SmackDown, the week prior, this past Friday, I should say, their 18 to 49 did 0.51. 0.51. So 0.51, 51. To get yourself out of the top 150, you had to score not a 0.21, 0.02 or less. The lowest number you could get in ratings is 0.00. Yeah, I still think of Animal House when I hear that. I remember AAA a long time ago getting 0.00. Like their 18 to 49 was so fucking microscopic that technically it was 0.00. Trinity's debut on Impact Wrestling either scored a 0.02 or less. Let that sink in. That is 26 times less than SmackDown. Not a 0.2, 0.02. I contacted a few people to try to get the rating. The only thing that I was told is that if Impact Wrestling scored a 0.02, let's just stick with that, their rating is going to be somewhere around 90,000 viewers. 90,000, Trinity's debut. That just goes to show, and that sucks. That's terrible. I feel bad for Trinity. You know, everybody, their mother online was hyping, oh, she's going to make a TV debut. She's going to confront Deonna Purrazzo and this and that, blah, 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 blah. And it didn't even break the top 150. I don't know why Impact for the last 2 weeks has nosedived as much as it has. But take note how everybody is silent. We're not going to single out any websites or patrons or anything like that. But take note how nobody even wants to say the words Impact Wrestling rating. You do a social media, do a Twitter search, type in Trinity Impact rating. Not in that order, just type it and see what nothing comes up. Do it on Google. Nothing comes up. You don't see any journalist even saying the Impact Wrestling rating is delayed. They could simply use the cop-out, delayed, delayed, delete, delayed, delayed. They're not even using that because they know what's coming. It's not going to be a good rating. I honestly think it might barely break 100,000. I think it does barely break 100,000, but the fact that it scored a 0.02 or less, that is horrible. I feel bad for Trinity because she deserved a little bit better. I don't know why people just did not choose to tune in. So, now listen, we don't get quarter hours for Impact. So for all we know, maybe that quarter hour did a little decent. But what's decent? 0.03? Rampage this past Friday did 294,000 viewers, slightly down from the week prior's 298. SmackDown this past Friday did 2,059,000 viewers. That is way down from the week prior's 2,473. And since people asked for it, why not? Stone Cold takes on America. We had the show air this weekend, did 339,000 viewers. If you want to compare it, the week prior, we had two episodes of Steve Austin Rivals. His episode with Shawn Michaels did 433. His episode with Bret Hart did 445. So Steve Austin takes on America, 339,000. Not the greatest. Not the greatest, but I think that's a disappointing number as well. So, all right, close out tonight. Dan, hey Val, thank you, Dan, for the five spot, my friends. Did I see the kid leave Dana Brooke hanging when she tried to high-five him? No, I didn't see it. Let's cue it up again. Oh, let's see it. Oh, you know what? That's so nice. We got to play it twice in super, 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 super slow-mo. Look, the kids are, well, there's one kid in the back looking at her. Look, give me a high five. Give me a high five. Come on. Lift that hand. Turn that frown upside down. Give me a high five. He's looking right at her, and he's like, you fucking kidding me? And she's like, oh, let me hit the barricade instead. I felt bad for her. I don't wish releases on anybody. And I don't want to see her released. I mean, but you can't help but feel bad. Hashtag kids give Dana Brooke a chance. Poor Dana. Could that have happened to anybody else? Yeah, maybe. But because it's Dana Brooke, it gets magnified a little bit. And, you know, her effort against Rhea Ripley tonight, not the most valiant. Not the most valiant. But, yeah, that was kind of disappointing. Mikey's asking me if I saw Matt Riddle photo that's floating around. No, I have not seen it, and I'm not going to look for it either. All I'll just say is that if true, 18 years old or older are the only ones that should be looking at it. So, all right. Thank you, Dan. Thank you for the five spot again. And again, we feel bad for Dana Brooke. What else could we say, man? What else could we say? If I keep talking, I'm going to end up getting my mouth in trouble. DT, I knew Brock would screw over Cody. I called him beating Brock clean and costing him a shot at the world title and asking for a rematch. Been telling people that. That is theme parks and things with Johnny, and thank you for the 10 spot, Johnny. Yeah, I mean, Cody Rhodes, again, you know, listen, you got to give a little props to WWE. I mean, look, we criticized WWE pretty good tonight. And Triple H, my God, did you hear those reports earlier today that Triple H is going to leave people talking about tonight's Raw? Yeah, you left people talking tonight. With all due respect, tonight's Raw kind of sucked. But let's give WWE a little credit. For anyone out there that thought that Cody Rhodes was going to win this tournament, there's a decent number of people out there, my friends. Johnny, you'd be surprised how many people out there that honestly thought Cody Rhodes was going to win this championship. That's WWE doing their job. You know, for all of us, for the most part, we feel there's only one story for Cody to finish. Just like with Dusty and Ric Flair, baby, it's got to be Roman Reigns. It's got to be Roman Reigns. It can't be anybody else. Doesn't matter if he gets the world heavyweight. It doesn't matter. The story that has been created is Roman Reigns. You can't deviate from that unless Roman got injured, unless Roman unfortunately got sick again. You cannot deviate from that. There is only one path. Right now, they're milking it. And WWE's getting away with it. But we're getting to a point now, people are getting angry. People are getting impatient. And yes, WWE is not going to speed it up because the IWC is getting very impatient with this. But fans are getting to a point like, okay, enough is enough. You fucking milked this. You didn't do it at Mania. Now you're milking it here. Now you're milking it. Listen, Cody Rhodes versus Brock Lesnar. I liked it yesterday. What I could only imagine it's going to happen in Saudi Arabia is going to be fun as well. So I don't mind this bump in the road, but you cannot go to WrestleMania 40 with this. No freaking way whatsoever. There's no way you go to WrestleMania 40 with this. That is asking fans, put Cody aside for a minute. If Cody tears his labrum or tears a knee and he's forced to be out 9 months, all right, fine. But if Cody Rhodes is an active wrestler between now, we don't want like, the Jericho Appreciation Society. Ricky, you want me? You're going to have to go through every member of the Jericho Appreciation Society first. We don't want Cody beating Solo. We don't want Cody beating Jay. We don't want Cody beating Jimmy. We don't want Cody beating Trinity. We don't want Cody to have to go through a whole bunch of people. If they do that storyline where Roman paid Brock to take out Cody, fine. We don't need a whole bunch of henchmen. That shit is old. People will get angry with that. You know, stop teasing all these things. We've seen it over and over again. Remember when Drew McIntyre was going to be a Clash at the Castle? Do you remember that they decided to do a match with Sheamus? The winner goes to Clash at the Castle. Sheamus, I can't have the match today. And they postponed it for like 2 weeks. And people are like, oh, maybe they'll do a three-way. Or maybe they'll do this. Maybe they'll do that. And they fucking milked it for like 3 or 4 extra weeks. And at the end, it was Drew McIntyre after all. You know, they do this a lot with these scenic routes. You cannot do that for 9-10 months with Cody Rhodes. 11 months. It's almost 11 months still to WrestleMania 40. There ain't no way you're getting away with that unless Roman or Cody is injured. Unless an injury happens, you ain't getting away with that. But the fact that people still thought Cody was going to win the championship at Night of Champions means that WWE is doing their job to convince some people that the story is not as clear and concise as many of us think. Props to you and everybody else who figured it out with Brock. Listen, I don't want to disrespect any other news journalists out there, podcast, but out of this whole weekend, we saw a lot of fake news. Zero News again tonight strikes it. Oh, a Scottish warrior is making his return tonight on Raw. Yeah. Yeah. Drew McIntyre got a nice set of tits wearing a man shirt tonight. You know, yeah, Drew McIntyre. Yeah, he returned tonight. He was wearing a Becky Lynch costume for Halloween. People get it wrong. The one thing that I thought was the most ridiculous this weekend, other than that idiot website that was wondering why Peacock said stream hasn't started yet, it was like 20 minutes before pre-show. The stupidest thing I read was that Brock Lesnar is not returning anytime soon. Saudi Arabia, Brock Lesnar is at the top of the list as far as active wrestlers next to The Undertaker. Brock Lesnar, you got Saudi Arabia, Brock Lesnar is going to be there. So how anybody out there thought that Brock Lesnar wasn't going to be at Night of Champions, that's nuts. That's crazy. We knew that Brock Lesnar is going to be at Night of Champions, and now we got the match. I'm looking forward to it. I'm not in no rush. We've waited this long. I don't mind waiting a couple of more months, but that's it. We get past into like Survivor Series territory and Roman still got this fucking title. Then that's it. That's it. I mean, unless they are giving us amazing storylines and suspension of disbelief with Cody, I move on. Speaking of Brock, Mighty Mighty with the five spot. Thank you, Mighty Mighty. Speaking of Brock, the report said that blood is not allowed. What do I think? People were complaining tonight that the USA Network on Raw was putting black and white photos online on Raw tonight. And I saw the argument. They have Chucky. Remember they had Temptation Island? And you had actually people in the commercial saying, I'm going to get myself some pussy tonight. I mean, they allowed to curse for Temptation Island. We're allowed to see Chucky on the commercials, I'm going to cut that bitch up. But Raw, we get a black and white photo. The easy answer to that is this. The advertisers that buy advertising space for WWE Raw, a lot of those advertisers do not want adult content. They don't want strong language. They don't want blood. They don't want things. If you are really bored, go back a year ago, Temptation Island, go fast forward through an episode, go through the Raw prior to Temptation Island and just write down the name of the vendors for the commercials. Then a week or two after Temptation Island, look at that Raw and write down the name of the vendors in the commercials. And you will realize, you will see it clearly, that there are some vendors out there that are paying a lot of money to advertise during Raw that only advertise on Raw because they're not getting TV-14. They're not getting vulgar language. They're not getting blood. They're not getting, you know, over-the-top extreme violence. That will change soon. That will change soon. Listen, when Endeavor and WWE merch, we already talked about it. You're going to see TV-14 returning for WWE. May not be all 3 hours, but you're going to see some TV-14 returning. Endeavor is not Sesame Street. You know, we're not getting, you know, Elmo, you know, like, we're getting UFC, you know, WWE. People are already teasing Conor McGregor versus Roman Reigns, you know. So Endeavor is going to be running the ship. So the advertisers in the future are going to be different. So down the line, you won't see some things that aren't going to be censored anymore. Right now, the reason why it still is because of the current deal and the advertisers that pay money for these shows. That's the reason why we still get the black and white and we get what we get. That's the only reason why. So Brock busted open hard way yesterday. But, you know, there's conflicting reports that Brock, you know, was going to bleed, but he was not going to blade. Brock doesn't like to blade. And Brock legitimately, you know, Cody, listen, the spot yesterday was intended. Cody inadvertently pulling the turnbuckle off, and then Brock, honestly, when Brock had Cody in the corner yesterday, A lot of you will appreciate this. When Brock had Cody in the corner yesterday and Brock moved back to look at Cody, I wanted to see this. Who used to do that? I don't remember who used to do that. Was it Diamond Dallas Page? Used to put her in the corner and just like view? Like, you could have seen Brock actually do that. And then he jumped and lunged at Cody and hit his head on the exposed turnbuckle. Did he know he was going to bleed? I don't know. Some people say he knew he was going to bleed. Some people say that he didn't. The spot was planned. I don't know if the actual bleeding was planned, but he did get busted open hard way yesterday. You know, so we don't know. But again, they censored it. But look, Bad Bunny came out with a WWF racing jacket. And then 30 minutes later, WWE's pixelating the jacket. You know, when they were at the gorilla position, you know, you don't think Bad Bunny look at Triple H, hey, look what I got. Look at my jacket. What do you think of it? You think Triple H said, oh, looks good on you. Yeah. No, I think at the end of the day, out of respect for the business, you know, I'm sure Bad Bunny's not going to wear something that WWE is going to be ejected. But, you know, it's like, oh, who's going to tell Bad Bunny otherwise? You know, look at who he is and look at the, but at the end of the day, WWE just censors it a little bit and that's it. So. Kevin Nash used to do it. Yes, you're right. Yes, thank you, Psycho and Mighty Mighty, everybody. Kevin Nash, that's who used to do it. Yeah, he used to set up and look, and then he hit the forearms. So, thank you, Mighty Mighty, and thank you all for a fun episode tonight. You know, let me show you a little bit of a preview for this week in wrestling history. This episode is pretty interesting, and yes, I have the original newspaper article of this. This is something that I posted online 4 or 5 years ago. You know, not only did is this the anniversary of Jimmy Snuka killing Nancy Argentina, but that same week, Eddie Gilbert had that crazy-ass car accident. Have you ever seen the picture of the car? That picture that you see on your screen right now is actually the car that Eddie Gilbert was driving. He went fucking... He hit the back of a fucking 18-wheeler that was hauling commercial equipment. He is lucky he didn't die in that accident. That is crazy shit. That is a legitimate photo of Eddie Gilbert's auto accident the same week that what happened with Jimmy Snuka and Nancy Argentina. This is also the anniversary of Deacon Batista's debut. The XFL. Vince McMahon, why is he wearing a college outfit? Oh, there's audio. He is the keynote speaker of a college in Connecticut. And I got to be honest with you. I know a lot of you out there dislike Vince McMahon, and I don't blame you. But if you hear his speech to the college graduates, I don't remember what college it was. It's pretty fucking good. So I have that audio on this week's episode if you want to check it out. You know, we got a little bit of Edge and Hulk Hogan. Look at Baron Corbin. Look at him with the baby fat. Look at Baron Corbin. Seriously, he wants the lone wolf. Did you ever see that photo? I don't remember where I got that photo, but I remember it took me a long time to find something like that. Look at Baron Corbin. He looks like he's 14 years old there. Kurt Angle. You know, that's TNA Kurt Angle. Yeah, William Regal, you know, getting shit poured over his head from The Undertaker. A little bit of disrespect in towards William Regal. And, wait, what about anybody that loves the Twilight Zone? You got to give me a little props for this one. One of my favorite Twilight Zone episodes of all time was William Shatner when he was on the plane and he thought he saw like an alien outside the plane. This is the anniversary of Michael Cole when they had that little Cole, like plexiglass thing, and Jerry Lawler was pulling the tie and Michael Cole was hitting the glass. Every time I saw that, I always thought of that Twilight Zone episode with William Shatner. So I photoshopped it. I think I did a pretty good job of it. And yeah, that is disgusting, but it is unfortunately the anniversary of Austin Aries, who got angry at Christy Hemme for announcing the wrong name when he came out for his match. So while Christy Hemme was standing in the corner at a TNA event, he decided to climb the ropes and put his penis right in her face. The coal mine, Mighty Mighty said. Thank you. But yeah, there's a lot of shit this week in history. It is loaded. It is loaded. There is some wild shit. So go check it out. It'll be released to everyone Tuesday afternoon at 4 p.m. It'll automatically release 4 o'clock sharp. You'll get the episode. So, all right, before I get out of here, here's a little tidbit, a little super tidbit that some of you may actually get a kick out of. Eric Williams, the altercation with Jimmy Snuka, 10 minutes from his house, and now it's a Home Depot. Believe it or not, I do remember seeing when they started retrying all of this and Jimmy Snuka was brought back to court and they were showing like the area. I do remember seeing, you know, like some store complex. But I tell you, as a very, very young wrestling fan, I do remember it popping up in the New York Daily News. All of us thought it was an accident. Honestly, none of us thought that Snuka was guilty of it. When you started hearing rumors that he used to beat up Nancy Argentina, you know, like you probably didn't want to believe it, but as the years went by, you know, you'd hear a little bit more and more. And in hindsight, listen, growing up, Jimmy Snuka was my favorite until Terry Funk came along. Jimmy Snuka was my favorite until 1984, I would say. Then when Terry Funk came along, Terry Funk was around in the 70s, but Terry Funk, I only knew of him in the wrestling magazines. But when he came to the WWF, and then a year or two later, I got VHS tape of him and Jerry Lawler and all of his empty arena shit. I mean, he became my favorite, and it's never changed. Terry Funk is my favorite wrestler of all time. But there was a point where Jimmy Snuka was my number one favorite. And, you know, it's looking back on it, I do believe that he accidentally killed his girlfriend, but he was violent. Like, I don't think he was intending to kill her. Like, I don't think that night he's like, I'm going to kill her, brother. I don't think that happened. I think he got aggressive. I think he got violent. I think, you know, he pushed her or hit her or something, not intending to kill her, but unfortunately she died. So the death, I think, was accidental, but I do believe he was responsible for it. You know, the idea that, oh, she slipped, brother. Yeah, well, why did she slip? You know, so I think in hindsight, I think Jimmy Snuka did it. So, and Eric, basically, thinking one step ahead, yeah, I think Jimmy Snuka accidentally killed his girlfriend. What would be? Would that be like second-degree murder or third-degree murder? You know, maybe it's criminally negligent homicide. You know, I mean, it is what it is. It sucks. It sucks. But, you know, Jimmy Snuka did narcotics at the time. You know, I mean, you heard stories that they both used to, you know, do lines. And, you know, you party a little bit. You get a little bit out of control. You get careless. You get reckless. And I do believe that Jimmy Snuka caused her death. Accidental, not intentional, but his actions led to her death. And trust me, this is a guy that at one point, Jimmy Snuka was my favorite. Sucks to say it, but that's how I feel about it. So, all right, I'm going to get out of here. Hope everybody enjoyed today's show. If you enjoyed it, you know what to do. If you know anyone else out there that might like the channel, let them know about it. Don't forget DonTony.com. Download the audio shows. I'm telling you, it helps because, you know, we're featured on Spotify. We're featured on iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Stitcher, you know, iTunes, everybody's at. But the thing is that, you know, the stats, when you see Chartable and you see a lot of these, you know, places, YouTube is not factored in those stats. So we're consistently in the top 50. But the thing is that if I got rid of YouTube and brought everything back to audio, we'd be in the top 15 every single week. No joke. No joke. But the audio side of it is very, very critical. Because believe me, if that audio side didn't exist, I would not be doing shows right now. That's how important it is to the channel. But, you know, we'll still keep doing video here. It'll spread apart a little bit. You know, we'll downsize here and there when needed. But, you know, definitely keep spreading the word, and I appreciate it as always. Now, a couple of things. I will announce the winner of the Patreon predictions contest tomorrow night on Patreon. I will announce the winner of the YouTube channel members that with the contest. Well, I had gotten a few DMs from some people that claimed they didn't get entries. Two things. Number one, if you're on YouTube and you didn't get an entry, it's because you're not a channel member. You know, there's a difference between subscribers and channel members. And there's a few people on Patreon that didn't get the invite because about 3 or 4 years ago, we had like a sample tier where, you know, you could subscribe for like $2 and get like the shows for the month. We were always relaxed with that and let everybody, you know, have the shows. But, you know, the Discord is not there. The contests are not there. So, you know, there's still probably like 10 people, 15 people that, you know, are part of that sample tier. So that's why you don't get it either. So if you're part of the sample tier on Patreon or you're not a channel member on YouTube, that's why you didn't see the entry. So, but I want to, speaking of that, these are our YouTube channel members. You know, I did say yesterday that we were going to start, you know, mixing it up a little bit. These are our YouTube channel members, but we have our made men. It is not meant to be sexist, but it is an Italian reference when somebody is made. If you remember Goodfellas and Joe Pesci, they're going to make me. So these are our YouTube channel members. Big shout out to all of them. But our made men, big shout out to our made men. You will see them momentarily, and I want to thank everybody for joining me tonight. Be well.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the host. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.